You are Locked On Celtics, your daily Celtics podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
I'm so hyped right now. Anything's possible. Oh, my mama. Oh, my mama made it, man. Anything's possible.
Rainy days, jump shot fade away. This is the best Celtics podcast day to day, especially when the season get hectic. I stay waiting on it like receiving a Nets pick. Nothing like the terrible analysts on the TV. So in depth, you might even hear a story on Gigi. So in depth, they might do an hour about the D-League. So in depth, you probably should pay them, but it's a freebie. Yeah, John Corrales and Jay King. Locked on, trying to get the 18th ring. So you can miss me with the blah blah. No more Geno time, we watching Jay do the Zaza. Melis.
Hey there, welcome back to the Locked On Celtics Podcast here on the Locked On Podcast Network. Thank you for making this part of your daily routine. We are here for you Monday through Friday, so whatever you're doing, wherever you're going, however you decide to listen to us, we do want to thank you for taking us along with you and making us part of your Boston Celtics experience. We are the Rain and Jays. Normally somebody is with me, but today I, John Corrales, am by myself to talk about the Celtics 113-86 demolition of the Sacramento Kings. Let's take a quick cruise through the numbers, as we like to do right away. Jaylen Brown was almost perfect in this game. Just a beautiful game from Jaylen Brown. 22.6 rebounds on 7 of 8 shooting. 22 points on 8 shots, as our good friend Rifesy, at Rifesy on Twitter, says, seems fairly efficient. It does. It seems very fairly efficient. Jaylen, 7 of 8 shooting, 5 of 6 from 3. Damn, Jaylen! 3 of 5 from the line. Like I said, 6 rebounds. Kyrie'd a lot, especially in the third quarter. 22 points overall, 5 assists, 4 steals. 4 more steals for Kyrie Irving. Guess who the league leader in steals is now? If you didn't just guess Kyrie Irving, then what's wrong, man? Yeah, Kyrie Irving leads the NBA in steals. Suck on that. Who needs LeBron now? All right, small sample size, I get it. But still, fun. As much fun as we could possibly have with this until it is no longer true. That's my approach. We're just going to keep going with Kyrie being good at defense until it stops being true, which it very well could at any moment. Before I get to the rest of the numbers, let's just talk about Kyrie's defense for a moment. He was really trying really hard on defense. He really literally was playing hard on defense. He wasn't dying on screens tonight for the most part. I don't remember seeing one. I might have missed one, but he was working. He was working his ass off, and it paid off. And look, steals can be deceptive because a lot of times, especially against a team like the Kings, who are in complete disarray, they can play into bad passing, and it's very easy to get into passing lanes. But look, Kyrie had a straight pick, like a straight rip on one play. He really tried and did well. So shout out to Kyrie Irving for just balling out on the defensive end. How crazy is that? Al Horford had a very nice, beautifully Al Horford night. Just 7 points, 6 shots, didn't need to score. All he did was get 7 rebounds and 6 assists to, well, at least lead the starters. Marcus Smart was your team leader in assists with 8. He was a plus 20 off the bench. That bench was key to this win. Also in this game, double-figure scoring for Semi Ojeleye. 12 points for Ojeleye, matching Jason Tatum. Semi came out and was 3 of 6 in this game. He has found his shot. Sweet, sweet. Semi-automatic. Somebody said that on Twitter, and I feel like a lot of people are saying that. It's not like an innovation there, but I like it. I like it. I'm going to go with it. Semi and Tatum each had 12. Tatum, mostly quiet night, but he did okay. Like the second quarter, he was doing okay. Let's see. And also in double figures, Daniel Theis, 10 points, 10 rebounds. That's what's commonly known as a double-double. The rebounding was fantastic tonight. 52-26, the Celtics out-rebounded the Kings. We have Kyrie playing defense and the Celtics dominating on the boards. What is happening to these 2017-18 Boston Celtics? What is happening to these guys? This is amazing. You could probably hear the smile on my face as I'm talking because my mind is blown. Making that gesture with my hands at my head. I don't understand it. But actually, I do understand the rebounding. That, as I said, I said on my Facebook page, I tweeted, I said on my halftime Periscope, if you're not watching my halftime Periscopes, you should. Why aren't you? You're not on Twitter, you say? Get on Twitter. Come on. What else are you going to watch at halftime? I know you're probably going to run off and grab another beer or whatever, but let's go, people. So, as I've been saying about the rebounding, quick note on the rebounding. So, we're not repeating ourselves. The length, the overall length has been great. These guys are all getting in there. And look at the rebounding numbers from tonight. Tatum had 4. Al Horford had 7. Baines had 9. Brown had 6. Smart had a couple. Ogilvy, Rozier, Larkin had 5. I mean, come on. There's a lot of guys out there getting their hands on missed shots. I was going to say getting their hands on balls, but I don't know if everybody here is mature enough to handle a comment like that. So I just decided to say missed shots. So a lot of these guys are getting their hands on missed shots and keeping the ball alive, and that's getting more opportunities for a Celtic, a much longer Boston Celtic than Celtics we've had in the past, to go out there and grab rebounds. So everybody's chipping in. A lot of these guys are more athletic. Everybody's getting their hands on something, and this has been great. And 16 offensive rebounds for the Celtics tonight. So just the rebounding has been tremendous. Man, shout-outs to everybody in this game. So obviously early on, Jaylen Brown got going. Tito Rozier, let's give it up for Tito Three Sticks, who in the second quarter had himself a very nice 7-point quarter in the second half. In the second, along with Jason Tatum, they both kind of carried that second quarter, 7 points apiece. Tito Three Sticks is out there doing his thing, getting those shots. Getting that second quarter was he scored 12 overall. So that second quarter was a big deal. I mean, he was going off. He went on a run by himself. He's capable of doing that. And the thing about Rozier is he is much more capable this year, I think, of playing through bad stretches. Last year, he would go through bad stretches. And I think it would stick in his head. I don't think he was able to shake off bad stretches of play. And it just carried on. And I think it did something to his confidence. This year, I think he's able to get through those. And it shows. I think the Spurs game is a great example of how he had a bad couple of minutes, and it was something that would have thrown him off, I think, a lot last season. This season, though, he came back and was part of the reason that the Celtics, were able to put the Spurs away. Tonight, again, the bench in the second quarter, remember here, this is a huge blowout, but the Kings actually took a lead early in the second quarter, and it was Rozier's play that, in part, really was able to stretch this game back out, get this lead back up to double digits, and really put the Kings into a position where they just kind of quit in a lot of ways. And, you know, and I've said before on the show how sometimes clutch play doesn't come in the fourth quarter. In a situation like that, I consider that sort of clutch play. When the other team takes a lead, I know you want to say the beginning of the second quarter, how can that be clutch? But the Kings, who are a young team, a lot like the Celtics, and will play off of confidence a lot, very kind of like a front-running type of thing where you, when things are going great, you can just keep piling on good play after good play after good play. When things start to go bad, then it's very easy to keep piling on bad play after bad play after bad play. And when the Kings took a lead and guys like Rozier and Tatum and the rest of that bench unit stepped up and put together, I want to say it was a 20-6 run, that right there is as clutch as many late game things, because that basically shut the Kings down. And without that level of play from the bench and guys like Rozier, you don't have Kyrie Irving playing 27 minutes or Horford playing 25 minutes and nobody playing more than 27 minutes in this game. That's the type of effort that maybe goes overlooked, but that second unit in the second quarter doing what they did and stepping up and badly outplaying Sacramento's bench, that really is where this game was won. And in the third quarter, when Kyrie went ballistic and scored 13 of his points, that was the kill shot. So the second quarter, those guys stepped up and were able to give it to Kyrie in the third, and Kyrie just said, boom, end this thing. It was beautiful. It was beautiful. And that, to me, may not fit anybody's definition of clutch, but I consider it clutch. I consider that very crucial. You can be clutch at any time in the game. You know what would be clutch is if you went and visited the Locked On NBA show, covering the whole league, getting expert opinions locally. So if there's anything that's happening around the league and you want to know, hey, what the hell is up with the Orlando Magic? Why are they so good all of a sudden? Well, the Locked On NBA show will have you covered. Talking to the host of Locked On Magic, or you can just go to the Locked On Magic show and subscribe to them, or at least listen to them. Go ahead and sample. The rest of the Locked On Podcast Network has you covered for anything in the NBA. If there is breaking news, if there is something in the league that you're just wondering what's happening, like what's happening to the Cleveland Cavaliers? Why do they suddenly suck? Are they worried? Locked On Cavs and Locked On NBA will have you covered. So go find them where you found us, everywhere you get your podcasts. Check out the rest of the Locked On Podcast Network. What do you say we get to some of these tweets? People hitting us up with the Rain and Jays hashtag. Let me just run down a few of these. Alex at Straight No Chaser, regular contributor. Thanks, Alex. Can we look at this for a minute and marvel? Rebounds. C's 52, Kings 26. When did the C's last destroy a team on the boards? I can't remember, and I'm not going to go do the research right now, but it's been a while. Actually, probably hasn't been a while. They've been doing it all season long, and so it's fun. It's fun. Robert Denton, at Robert Denton. Holy moly, Tatum is one cool rookie. He is a cool rookie. Fun moment, though, at the end of the game. It's interesting. Brad Stevens kept Tatum in the game during garbage time, which interesting to me because he didn't need to be in the game during garbage time. They could have easily taken him out. I would have taken him out. And, I mean, you had other guys that could have gone in at the end of the bench to play out that game and not risk hurting a very promising young rookie. But he left him in, and he dribbled the ball just completely out of bounds. Like, it's almost like he was expecting the ball to go one way and the ball went another. I tweeted this out. So, and if you're not on Twitter, I'm at Reds_Army_John. It's just a funny moment because you see Brad like almost break character and laughing on the bench with Michael Shrewsbury. And I saw him yell out to Jason twice and the camera cut away. I was dying to know what he said there, but just a fun moment. And I thought it was kind of great. And I just love the way this team is playing. And you know, on a day where Gordon Hayward puts out on his blog a big kind of a big post that explains the injury, what he saw, and everything. You want to check him out? He tweeted out the link. Tommy Heinsohn actually said that it feels like Hayward's injury kind of solidified this team in a weird way, because they went from high expectations and huge turnover, four guys returning, and everybody was, what's going to be with the Celtics? People like Jeff Van Gundy were saying, I think the Celtics can be the favorites in the East. And lots of pressure that comes with that. Who knows how they respond to all of that pressure. And Hayward goes down, and all of those expectations just flush down the toilet. And obviously, very obviously, we would still love to have Gordon Hayward. And very obviously, we do not want to have him injured. But it happened. And in a weird way, these guys kind of said, all right, well, now we've got to do this. And now people don't expect us to do anything. And it can be a liberating thing to have those expectations lifted off of you, because if you lose, and they don't think necessarily this way, but if you lose, you're not supposed to win. So just go out there and play your ass off. And maybe it's something that does inspire Kyrie Irving to play his ass off on defense and does make other people raise their games. But it's just kind of funny. This team feels loose. It's very easy to be loose when you're winning six games in a row and you're the hottest team in the NBA and you're at the top of the Eastern Conference. It's very fun to be loose at the tail end of a 113-86 blowout. It's an easy time for the coach to be laughing and joking around over a turnover, but they do feel loose. They do feel like they're out there just having some fun. Ben Gates, at Gates_Ben, tweets to me, but Kyrie needed LeBron? Yeah? The Pacers beat the Cavaliers 124-107 tonight. 124-107. From a Cavaliers perspective, I'm not worried about that team. I mean, from a Celtics perspective, I'm happy that they're struggling. But this is fun. This is fun. I just caution everybody, let's not, on November 1st, start burying the Cavs. Okay? I just caution you not to bury the Cavs so soon, because it's still basically LeBron's preseason. LeBron has spent year after year after year after year playing well into June. He doesn't go on vacation the same time most people go on vacation in the NBA. Most teams, most players, their seasons end in March or April, and they get an extra month to go on vacation and relax and unwind and get the, you know, just shake off a very long, strenuous season. LeBron doesn't get to do that. LeBron has to, big problem, to the end of the month, to the end of the season, the actual absolute last day of the season. And then he's got Nike obligations, and he's got Team USA things from time to time. And look, I would not be surprised if this is sort of like an extended preseason for him. So I'm happy to enjoy this win. I'm happy to, you know, point and laugh at Cleveland's early struggles. Let's just not go burying anybody just yet. Let's hold off. At Diogenes of SC, the Celtics are supplying the entire roster for the rookie second year All-Star game. Let me tell you something. These guys are out there balling out, man. Tatum is going to go to the game. Jaylen Brown's going to go to the game. The way Tice is playing, he could get invited. Ojale, semi-automatic, the way he's hitting threes. Shit, put him in the three-point contest. These guys are all out there balling, man. The Celtics will have a pretty heavy representation, I think, at All-Star Weekend. Seriously, half this team's going to go there for something. Skills competition. the, you know, like, why wouldn't Kyrie be at the point guard skills competition? Why wouldn't they have a bunch of those rookies there? Why won't they have a couple of all-stars? They could. So all-star game will be very heavily Boston Celtics. Let's see. shout out to our boy Jam Packard, who couldn't be with us tonight. At Chipmore 1983 says, I admit, I thought Jam Packard was going too heavy on riding Tito's nuts, but he's actually looking pretty damn ingenious. So shout out to Jam Packard for being ingenious, riding the nuts of Tito Three Sticks. That's a compliment, right? Sure. We'll go with it. Let's steal Zach Randolph, Robert Denton says. One of only 14 players with a 16-point average, including KG. Always solid, deserves non-trash team. Hot take. Yeah, sorry. We're not going to liberate him from the Kings. It's just not going to happen. We'll see. People are talking about Jahlil Okafor. We'll see. My thought on Okafor, these guys talked about it. Sam and Jay talked about it a little bit. My thought on Okafor is I really don't want him. I don't want him as a player. But I can understand if the Celtics decide, hey, if he's bought out, or maybe they trade for him. Maybe they use the disabled player exception to trade for him just as a kind of advanced scouting, just to see if they think he might be salvageable. It's entirely possible that a lot of his problems are based on his situation. He does have issues, no doubt, but Ainge has liked him in the past. If they decide, hey, look, we're going to just take this guy for three quarters of the season or half the season or however long it is, if he's available, if that works out, they bring him in, and if he's terrible, if he sucks, if he's got a bad attitude, you cut him. It doesn't matter. Just cut him. So you can't sign him beyond the year. And who knows? Maybe you bring him in and he does well, and you sign him and he becomes another young player that you can have for a long time. That's decent. I don't like him necessarily. I don't want Okafor, but I can understand the argument that he or Hezonja or any of these other guys that, or even some buyouts, who knows? If any of these guys are young and have had promise, if they decide, let's give it a shot, I can see it. I can totally see it. It's just an evaluation. So, okay, let's see. David Ackman, Jay Jam, shouts to the Cats Up in Game, boys. Nice story from Jam yesterday on the podcast about dressing up two of his friends, dressing up as ketchup bottles, him and his friend dressing up as two ketchup bottles. I'm a little upset that Jam didn't go out there and say we went as ketchup and catsup, even though he dropped that fire Simpsons reference on the show. I'm a little upset that he and his buddy didn't decide to go as ketchup and catsup and just become a Simpsons reference. That would have salvaged that entire costume. Jeez. Vinny at Sailboat Studios. With the emergence of Tito, should Boston consider moving Smart to bolster their bench? No. 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 They should. I mean, look, it's possible. It's possible they could decide that Marcus Smart is, I guess, expendable. They could say that if they don't want to pay him a ton of money. But they're not going to get a high return on Smart because his salary is still on that rookie contract. So I just don't think a trade for Smart makes a ton of sense at any level. Like, just keep him. And if he's having a bad year and you know what he can do, if he continues to have like a tough shooting year, then you pay him less than what you were going to pay him before, then maybe that $15 million number goes down to 12 or 10. Who knows? But you know what Marcus Smart can do, and it doesn't all have to be shooting. Tonight he was a tremendous passer. I love Marcus Smart. I think every team needs a Marcus Smart. I'm not willing to move him or anything. Just, no matter what emerges at this point, I just think he's a guy that you can hold on to and have him be an important part of the future of this franchise. So I'm just going to leave that at that. One note that stood out, this is the sixth straight game. The Celtics have won six in a row. All of them, all of these six wins, they've held the team, the opposing team, under 100 points. That is the first such stretch under Brad Stevens. So this defense is young guys, athletic guys. They're hustling. They're playing their asses off. They're getting good defensive contributions, like I said, from Kyrie. Al Horford's a defensive beast this season. This defense is on fire. So that's a fun game note. And I will end the show on this little statistic that I looked up, and because I keep seeing these guys throwing alley-oops to one another. And this is just fun. I said on Twitter, I think the Celtics have already surpassed last year's alley-oop total, which they it feels like it because they just keep catching so many. Last year, I looked it up, 43 alley-oops, 43 successful alley-oop dunks for the Boston Celtics last year. That's basically one every other game. Okay? It's like a half an alley-oop per game. So every couple of games, you'd get one. In tonight's game, they had two more, bringing their season total up to 18. So they're already close to halfway to last year's total after eight games for an average of 2.25 alley-oops per game. So we're seeing a couple of alley-oops a night. This is fun. I love it. This is a fun basketball team to watch. They've got a big test coming up, though, Friday at Oklahoma City. Jay mentioned it on the podcast. This is going to be a tough one. This might be where their streak ends. I don't know. That Oklahoma City's tough. Lots of talent. That's a tough place to play. But like Jay said on the show yesterday, Marcus Smart goes off in OKC. So let's see if that trend continues. All right. Once again, the Boston Celtics, 113. The Sacramento Kings, 86. A mostly dominating game for the Celtics, who have won six straight games and now sit atop the Eastern Conference, looking down at everybody else. And for now, we will take it because it's just fun. And it's because, look, they've just picked up a half-game lead on the Orlando Magic, and they're one game ahead of the Pacers, two teams that are probably going to suck all year long. So, and the Cavaliers, meanwhile, are 3-5 and tied with the Brooklyn Nets. So this is, when you talk about small sample size theater, that's it right there. That's it in a nutshell. But we will take it for now. If you are not a subscriber, if you have just stumbled onto the show, please do subscribe. Find us wherever you get your podcasts. Search for the Locked On Celtics podcast, and we will be there. Subscribe. You get us Monday through Friday. We are the only daily podcast out there covering the Boston Celtics. Even when life comes at us and a couple of guys can't make it, somebody's going to be here to talk about this team with you Monday through Friday. Tell your friends. Rate us 5 stars. Share, share, share. Let everybody know the Celtics are hot. They're fun to watch. People are going to be interested in podcasts about the Boston Celtics. So tell all of your friends when the Celtics come up that they should be listening to us. We are the Locked On Celtics Podcast, and this is part of the Locked On Podcast Network.